merchants next door. But, you know, I think I've always thought that demonstrations downtown during the shopping season of a continuing and escalating nature are the way to end the sleeping ban, and that now is the time to do them. And unfortunately, there aren't many people who agree with me at the moment. And if you do agree with me and you do think such demonstrations are a good idea, you should, and you want to help with them one way or another, either by phoning or by being there or by tabling, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and let me know what you think. We are going to continue some of these protests. We are going to be tabling. We are going to be pressing people to not patronize businesses that support the sleeping ban and try to raise the issue loudly in a visible way. But it really depends on whether folks want to do it as well. And that really depends on you folks out there. You're the people involved in this. Here's a little more from the oral communications period. Jane Baer always has something articulate to say. She's talking about the beach flats.
Jane Baer, Kitchen Reading Beach Flats. And I'm a beach flats mom, and what we like is to be left alone, and our view by suits is an exhibit. We don't want the levees raised. We don't want to drink anything. We want our little houses to be rightfully recognized as historic treasures. We just want to be the restored, historic fishing village that we are next to the restored Federal National Marine Estuary and Sanctuary. And I'd also like to try to include my family's good name. For someone in council insinuating that we're racist landlords. And Fulber and I have raised our 7 children in beach flats for the last 20 years. We're from Manhattan. We were beaten up in the civil rights movement in the South in the 60s. Fulber was a 19-year-old in 1961, the first year of the Vietnam War draft, and he was the first well-known draft dodger. There's a huge file, therefore, as an anti-war activist, and was the originator of the SCS, and was important and instrumental before, during, and after the Haight-Ashbury Summer of Love. We were shot at by real bullets by the Berkeley police at Peoples Park, and I still feel one of those bullets. And therefore, the level of the only law and order advocates, when we advocate for the 2 police patrol on beach flats, we know what we're talking about. I was there, so I know who wasn't. The other reason, I know people, some people who are not civil rights advocates, is they really know what it involves. And not falsely accused beach flats bears. I'm not a racist. My beach flats family home includes the 4 rural units that lived in my family members, mostly with former members. My children, ages 11 to 25, are and have been raised with beach flats Latinos. My house and yard has always been open to all neighborhood kids. I am what's called a neighborhood mom. And I've helped raise all beach flats kids for the last 20 years, and I know them all. If there's new kids, I know who to ask about him or her family. And anybody with an open mind can understand that our children were hurt by the cruel and hate lies against Phil Bear and I. Remember, we've raised our kids, 7 children, in beach flats for the last 20 years. Not like some people in the council who have never lived anywhere close.
And that was Jane Baer at Oral Communications on November 24th at City Council. We skip now to the next day when you get some real oral communications from people on the food line, and then we're going to go back to a little more oral communications on the 24th. Well, we're here in line at the Veterans Memorial Building. It's about 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving, Thursday, November 26th or 27th. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's Thanksgiving. And I've just been told that this couple was walking to this event, or perhaps earlier today, when they saw 2 bicycles go through a red light, but apparently in a situation where there was no traffic hazard. A police officer then pulled out up after them, ticketed them, and told them it was a $271 ticket. Is that right? That's accurate. So, looks like the fine makers are operating today in Santa Cruz, but did it look like they were kind of people who could pay the tickets, or? Sometimes people on bicycles sometimes aren't able to go from River Street. So they were sheltered people who couldn't possibly get the tickets anyway.
So it sounds like gratuitous bullshit. If I forget me for saying so. The motorcycle car. Officer Connor, perhaps. Thank you.
And now back to oral communications. Roxana Kistapache, who headed Friends of the Beach, which essentially brought many of the Latino people to the oral communications period of the Civic Auditorium, which really, I think, was instrumental in turning around the city council on the beach flats and letting people know how residents really fought about it, and vice versa. Here she is, talking on November 24th.
Thank you, Roxana Kistapache. I watched a homeless woman be put out of her hotel room the other night. I feel sort of emotional about it because I did come here to talk to you about homelessness. And I want to paint a picture for you because I heard a councilman say that the new council should spend at least a month getting their feet wet before they made any kind of judgment on sleeping there. And as you know, it's raining, it's cold, and I don't think anyone here would sleep outdoors, but you can't sleep, would sit up outdoors in the cold for a month waiting for someone to make a decision. So I just want to tell you because I was homeless once, and it was a very frightening experience, and maybe if I just tell you my experience, you can understand what it's like to go 30 days, and I was homeless during the hot time of the year, during the special hot winter in summer in the summer. I slept in my car. I was on a 7-1. I was homeless during my car to my money, and I was living in a very dangerous situation. I had a car, and I had $800. So I'm not even in the category of the kind of people that we see. And I was scared out of my mind. I was scared every day someone would find out I didn't have a home, and take my child away. When I slept at night, my son had a back seat in the car, and I had bucket seats. I slept sitting up because that's all I could do. I really didn't sleep. It was so hot. And I was afraid to roll down the windows because I was afraid someone would hurt us and reach in if I fell asleep and get in and hurt us. You're at the mercy of every crazy with a good heart when you're homeless. Churches, everyone. And I was taken by a church to get groceries at one point. I was trying to save my money for a house. There was a less than 1% vacancy rate here. And I was taken by a church, but they accompanied me to Grady's Market in Unibail without a refrigerator or any way to keep food, $80 worth of food at one sitting. And the reason they accompanied me was to make sure I wasn't an alcoholic or a drug addict. The people that let me put some of the food in my refrigerator in 1 week, again from a church, were very inconvenienced by our presence. One day a week coming in the evening and taking food out. We didn't stand at home or anything. And another time someone, a kind heart, let us stay with them, and but we were kicked out because my son watched TV with the child and he put on Bewitched. And that was satanic to his family. And we were told to leave immediately. Everything that we did, no matter what we did, it was the most frightening time in my life, and I still wasn't sleeping outdoors. Another person that we stayed with wasn't having physical relations with her partner because there were strangers in the house. And one night when things got really intense, we were asked to leave at 12:30 in the morning so that this could happen, and we were out in a freezing cold night and sitting at 101 temperature. I just want you to know that people can't wait 30 days. I've never forgotten. I worked 2 or 3 jobs all my life, so it would never happen again. And people are packaged. They're not beautiful. I just let you know they don't come in sexy packages. They're not wraith-like. They get scared. They're strident. Sometimes they're on pain pills. They're not nice people. They start demanding. They start yelling. Please don't be put off by that, because you get to a point where you have nothing to lose.
Council,
I have just two more, Mr. Barron and Yeah, if you want to finish the comments of the previous speaker. I don't want to see you.
What do you mean, do you want to?
She's following.
That's fine.
I'll make my own.
All right, we have the first two speakers, and that's it.
What has happened in the last several years in Santa Cruz City government says something about the resilience of progressivism, but it also says something about our vulnerability to a hard sell. Scott Kennedy almost single-handedly took over this government, and he did so. Yes. You know it. He did.
What you hear now is former Mayor Celia Scott interrupting the public Phil Baer, telling him not to make a personal attack on Scott Kennedy. A fundamental misconception by Celia Scott, who is very much concerned with manners and so forth and, you know, civility and all that sort of thing. Phil Baer is revealing a truth about government and referring to the political behavior of Scott Kennedy, which is completely legitimate. Completely legitimate public discourse. I was outraged. She also interrupted me when I was talking because I was criticizing her political behavior. You may remember if you heard the earlier oral communication. I'm a little concerned that Vice Mayor Keith Sugar, our new Vice Mayor, may take on his shoulders the job of somehow being policeman to deal with these so-called personal attacks. It's not a personal attack to name names in political circumstances where people are abusing the trust of the community and engaging in behavior that's abusive to the community. That's not a personal attack. Personal attack is when you talk about someone's sex life or criticize the, you know, how they treat their kids or something irrelevant to the political arena. So we continue listening to Phil Baer at Oral Communications.
It's not because of any particular profound or compelling vision, because let's face it, the idea of a city government that has the support of business because it agrees to allow business to overdevelop is hardly a radical or inspiring concept, and in fact is just pretty much politics as usual in America as it exists all over the country, and exactly the kind of politics to which progressivism was posited as an alternative. In that sense, what's been attempted is reactionary. So he didn't do it with an idea, he did it with a simple hard sell that he was going to do it, and other people better get on board or be left behind, and four council members, amongst others, quickly jumped on board. This readiness to switch sides indicates either a very superficial attachment to progressive principles or a loss of confidence in those principles, which would be to some degree understandable because, let's face it, a certain amount of stagnation has set in. Consider some of the basic objectives of progressivism, like slow, community-based growth, alternative transportation, a locally controlled, sustainable economy, and consider how little we've actually done to make these things happen. If concepts like this remain on the theoretical, rhetorical level and never get really tried, then it starts to lose credibility, we as a community start to lose confidence, and we fall prey, or can fall prey, to the developers' liberal carpetbaggers. We've either got to try some of these things or get out of the way, because when we just mouth it and never really do it, we do lend ourselves susceptible to what a proven developer's ability to analyze our community and craft a sales pitch designed to pacify us. They can do that if we're not strong, if we're not moving forward. They will do that, and we will fall for it. And then one final little general, universal political reality that seems to be in need of getting identified here. One does not join an effort to overthrow a government, have that effort fail, and still think they're going to be mayor. This may be La La Land, but we're not totally stupid. Ever since Bob said, I feel like I'm following a dog act.
And now a brief interruption from reality, again back to the Veterans Hall the day after in the food line. Okay, we're in line about 10 after 1 talking to Mark Cummings.
And Mark, you're a man who sleeps outside.
Yes, I am.
And how did it come that you do sleep outside?
I got hit on my Harley Davidson in Hawaii. And I got hauled back in California by my mother and my family.
Right.
Which live in Chico and Paradise, California.
Right.
And now this is the only place I can stay. My daughter lives up on Summit Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came down here to see her and, mm-hmm. and just to be happy.
You sleep in your vehicle or sleep out?
No, I sleep on Poverty Hill.
That's right above town, right?
It's right over the rental office. I sleep up there to be safe so that I can sleep and I don't have to worry about being bothered.
And so the police don't harass you?
They haven't yet. I heard that they will, but they haven't yet. I got full tarps,
mm-hmm.
Everything. I got camp stoves and everything else. But
are you with a lot of people? Or?
I'm with one other guy.
And are you pretty well hidden?
Yes, pretty much. I am pretty well hidden. Unless you really look when you go by.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, yeah.
How long have you been doing this, Mark?
2 months now.
Mm-hmm. And how's it coming with winter? Are you pretty well set up for winter?
Oh yes, we are. We got. I went and I collect cans, yeah. And so I've gotten cans, and I went down to the flea market, and I got like a 20x20 tarp that we use for a ceiling,
okay.
And then we bought some other camouflage tarps for all our sides, and it seems to work out pretty good.
And have you been in this condition before, like, you know, a couple of years ago?
No, I have not.
First time. What kind of work were you doing before?
I'm a carpenter.
Uh-huh.
Until I got hit.
What kind of injuries have you sustained?
I broke my kneecap. I spliced my spine from ear to ear. Or my spine.
Uh-huh.
And then my head from ear to ear.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it.
What kind of impact has it had on your ability to get work?
Everything until right now, the doctors don't want me to work, so I don't break my head again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I am well for this year.
How's your disability? You got a disability check or?
Yes, I did up till now.
What happened?
Now they just want me to get another doctor's commission. You know,
which is this SSI we're talking or no?
No, it would be here and be through a doctor, which I have no access to. They had me serving through the welfare department and to the place up there at the commission's hall or whatever, but it does no good.
Because
they're afraid I'm looking for drugs or something, I don't know.
Would you describe yourself as having either a drug or an alcohol problem?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't.
And now for the final bit of oral communications from Carol Long, who had never before spoken out publicly on the sleeping ban that I'm aware of. She gave an eloquent speech at the November 24th City Council meeting, which you're about to hear. Not eloquent enough, apparently, to get Keith Sugar or Tim Fitzmaurice to say anything about the sleeping ban or to have any of them actually put it on the agenda or commit themselves on December 8th or do a special session, but perhaps eloquent enough to move some of us to keep up the pressure.
I don't have her paper call, so I can't do that. But I do want to add my voice to Chris. My name is Carol Long, and you know me, I know you. I want to add my voice to that of the woman who didn't get to finish her statement, who was so much more eloquent than I am on this subject. Also to Robert's and to Roxanne's. Now I'm getting very emotional as I think about this. I feel ashamed that my efforts have been much less in the area of social justice, but in the area of environmentalism in my life. I've stood up more on the side of environmental issues, the earth, because I felt so close to that issue. When I was young, I had a job at a black community newspaper in San Francisco. And one of the other people there asked me whether I thought the racial issue or the environmental issue was a more important issue. And I said I thought the environmental issue was more important. And I was wrong, because it isn't a more important issue, it's the same issue. It's all the same issue. If you ignore the people that are sleeping out in the cold, you're ignoring the environment just as much as if you paved the rose garden, stripped down the rose garden. And I really urge this council and the next council to repeal the sleeping man and redeem yourselves. Your record on this, every one of you, even the ones I support, appalls me. And it doesn't even touch me personally. I'm not homeless. I've been houseless. I've slept in my car. I've been persecuted by the police in the past. But it's not happening now. And for the people it's happening for, I can't even imagine what it's like. Thank you.
Thank you.
Talking to a man who's going to jail next month for
camping. My name is Conger Ray, and I got a ticket for camping in my friend's backyard right behind the foster freeze. And I took a written message from my friend who owned the house to the judge, and he wouldn't accept it because it was written on a foster freeze menu.
I remember. I think I was in court, as a matter of fact.
So, yeah, that's pretty shitty. And it finally caught me. Actually, I get it. For drinking, and it took an undercover cop to do it, and I don't drink sodas, and I really felt like I was in a trap, because on the boardwalk, they got tons of places that sell alcohol, and the liquor stores all around that beach market, and then you got the liquor store at the end of the corner there, across my deal company, and several places in between, and on the pier that they sell alcohol, and then you got the Cuervo Gold Tournament right behind me.
So how much are you facing?
It looks like $1,000 or 220 some hours of community service.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 in the rain. Hopefully you're not in the rain. If you are in the rain, you don't try to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, but stay away, keep those eyes open, because that's what our city council apparently feels is the appropriate course, at least until they get their feet wet, so to speak. You may be getting your head wet, your entire body wet, your bedding wet, and everything else wet, but until they get their feet wet, they can't really turn to that issue. So have a little patience, maybe a month or two's worth, and they'll get back to you. In the meantime, why don't you get back to them at 429-3550 and then push the pound key and tell them, enough of this stalling shit. Enough of this, we get to wait until after the winter is over before making these decisions because we are getting our feet wet. Enough of this murky stuff. But it's time to put the matter on the December 8th agenda and schedule a meeting for December 15th. If you don't want to get the entire law out as a total and complete matter, then put a sunset clause on it or call an emergency measure or do whatever you want, but get it out there and do it. do what the people elected you to do. Don't sit there worrying or wondering about the Sentinel or some conservatives downtown or certain merchants or a few scam people who have a lot of money in their pockets and maybe aren't particularly concerned about this issue or worried about it. Don't worry about those folks. Worry about the folks that you were elected to restore the rights for. That's poor people in Santa Cruz. That's why we voted for you. Now it's time for you to act. 429-3550. And listeners, unless you get on the phones, they ain't gonna do shit before Christmas. That's my view. Now, I'm maybe wrong. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'm so happy. But if I'm not wrong, a phone call or two will not be amiss to tell the council, put it on the agenda on the 8th, schedule a session for the 15th. Let's get this matter behind us at least for the winter. Then we can spend lots of time in workshops in the spring if we need to. Phone number here if you want to reach me is 427-3772 here at 96.3 FM. I'm actually going overtime. I think the little red hen has been apparently waylaid or possibly not sure what she's up to, but she should be clucking in here soon. That's our next show, which is intended for the younger. By the way, it's also illegal for children to sleep outside under the sleeping ban, and children have gotten tickets under the sleeping ban. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Throw your microphone out the window and come out with your hands up.
Uh-oh, it sounds like David Silva imitating
the FCC. Oh, shoot, I thought that was so funny when Bob did it.
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that may actually be happening tomorrow.
Throw your microphone out the window.
Yeah, and I want to remind all our listeners, particularly those part of the collective, there's an emergency meeting of the collective today at, I guess we're meeting at 5. I think that's the plan, not 3, like I said before. 5 is our meeting time. So show up all you collective members.
Send my blessings and well-wishings.
Also, I want to remind people that tomorrow at 3, there is a meeting of the Coalition to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, as they're calling themselves, which is a collection of new people who want to end the sleeping ban and invites old people like you, David, and me to come on down to Loudoun Nelson.
Are you providing transportation for the disabled?
Child
care?
I think
you contacted all the committee
and
members
sleeping
of the committee
bags,
to repeal
definitely,
the sleeping
plus
ban?
Pillows and the petitions and picket signs.
Yeah.
3 o'clock tomorrow at Loudoun Nelson Center.
That's good to know, Robert.
Show up if you want to help organize, again, protest to make sure the city council really does something around the sleeping ban instead of saying they're going to do something and then waiting. Dave, any new encouraging news for us?
I don't have any news. No one's given me any call bulletin flashes or anything like that. I'm encouraged by what I heard at the inauguration. And I remain encouraged. I will be more encouraged if on Monday, the 30th, people, you know, there are some people out there who have blankets over their shoulders after 11 o'clock at night. I would be more encouraged if there are some people that haven't participated in the Sleep Fest, the Don't Sleep Tonight nights, if they would at least one night try to go without sleeping and see how they operate the next day.
Well,
I would appreciate it if, you know, people would, you know, that have been participating, try going without a blanket.
I invite you to come down tomorrow at 3 o'clock and talk to some of the folks who will be, we're hoping to have a sunny day or two between the rainstorms.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Kind of hit the streets downtown to give out flyers about not only Don't Sleep Tonight Night, tomorrow night, but also about the need to call the city council and the need not to
429-3550.
429-3550 and then the pound sign. And not to patronize stores and to tell those stores that you're not going to patronize them until they ending the sleeping ban.
And don't be judgmental or prejudicial when you go up to the storekeeper. You know, be really sincere, you know, come from the heart and ask them, you know, if they've thought about it or if they know about it. You know, there's a lot of shopkeepers that, you know, don't have the slightest, I don't think they have a clue what this little coalition clique that controls the Downtown Association has been doing.
Mm-hmm. Also, of course, there's the council meeting coming up the 8th, and if nothing's on the agenda, I'm going to encourage everybody and his father to roll downtown with a sleeping bag, and this time put those sleeping bags right out down there in the city council meeting, roll them out, and, you know, since the building isn't going to be used for any public purposes, annulling bad laws.
Why
like
sleep out when we can sleep in?
Then we should sleep in at the city council chambers and use it for the next month, since the council doesn't seem to be too busy doing anything.
Well, they shall not be intimidated those who rule, but they shall respond those who believe in democracy.
Well, thank you, David.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And our lines are open at 427-3772. This is Bathrob Spears Broadsides, and it's not the FCC. It looks like
looks like the producer of the show, Becky Johnson, with a special press release, Don't Sleep Tonight Night, Monday, November 30th, civil disobedience at the town clock at 11 p.m., probably civil disobedience, and free showers, free ice-cold showers, and blanketed walk-in on Pacific Avenue. On Don't Sleep Tonight Night, all Santa Cruz City residents are invited to attempt to stay awake from 11 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. Actually, that's 8:30 a.m. Sorry, I'm not 6:30. It really is 8:30. 9.5 hours, the hours in which most homeless people face being kicked awake by a police officer or awakened by aggressive pounding on their vehicle with flashlights. That's, of course, before the vehicle is towed and they're taken to jail, with flashlights in the wee hours of the morning should they fall asleep or cover up with a blanket at night. Do the following. 1. Stay awake from 11 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. and see how hard it really is to abide by Municipal Code 6.36.010A, which outlaws the act of sleeping virtually anywhere in the city out of doors, in a vehicle, or in a garage or outbuilding. Then call City Council at 429-3550-pound and tell them what you experienced. 2. Those who have gone a night without sleep are asked to try to go to sleep in your bed, but don't use any blankets. That sounds like a life-threatening behavior. At least it would give you a cold. The use of the blankets at night is also illegal and subject to a $162 fine for a single violation under MC 6.36.010B. Don't forget to call 429-3550-POUND. And by the way, while you're listening to all this, pick up the phone and call 429-3550-POUND right now and tell them December 8th, end the sleeping ban or we're taking over the building. Well, let's put it this way. We may have to use the building temporarily as emergency shelter because there doesn't seem to be enough shelter in Santa Cruz and because it's illegal to sleep outside elsewhere. 3, show up at the town clock at 11 p.m. with a blanket wrapped around your shoulders as an act of civil disobedience. Covering up with a blanket out of doors is illegal between 11 and 8:30 in the morning. Sometimes police confiscate blankets as evidence of a crime, and they also confiscate vehicles as evidence of a crime, instrumentality of a crime. That's a little bit more expensive, but apparently more fun for the cops because they get to call the tow company, and who knows what that leads to. Call City Council at 429-3550-POUND and tell them to end the sleeping in blanket bans. That's good advice. Please do it right now. Even if you've done it before, do it again. Say, I notice you didn't put anything on the November 24th agenda. What exactly, please be specific, are you planning to put on the December 8th agenda? Or isn't it that important? 429-3550-POUND. Now, in the studio I have with me Becky Johnson, who I used to call beggarbacker Becky when she was hanging out with that Citizens Committee for the Hopeless crowd, the homeless, sorry, Citizens Committee for the Homeless, sort of the ne'er-do-wells who closed down the Coral Street open-air shelter. They've now been closed down themselves by Karen Gillette's Homeless Community Resource Center after having been relegated to a piece of paper in the top drawer of the Homeless Community Resource Center, which gives them money but essentially has no real power anymore whatsoever. You've been looking into shelter spaces. I guess you're no longer beggarbacker Becky. I guess some people called you badass Becky. Are you badass? Are you beggarbacker? Who are you anyway?
Oh, that's news to me. Hi, Robert. And I have been looking into shelter and still have not gotten the ultimate word on how many spaces are open tonight. If it is typical of matching last year, what we would have tonight would be the Armory would be open and available for people who show up at about 3:30 p.m. Down at 115 Coral Street and gather and to ride the buses up to the Armory. That could hold. Now, the maximum number of people that have ever been held in the Armory is 132. And then if it's the same as last year, then we would have 56 people staying in area churches at night. And that's it for the shelter possibilities. A few beds in the River Street shelter, too.
Of course, that's not for drop-ins. That's for folks who are on the waiting list. Now, emergency shelter beds, I think we have to say, are maxing out at under 200 for 500 to 1,500 homeless people. Is that accurate?
Well, we're still trying to get the final count on how many are available and how many people are being turned away. It's getting pretty cold out there, very wet. I want to remind your listeners that those who are out in the cold and wet need to really have late breaking information about weather, and you can call the 457-9754 extension 222 at any time and get the weather, and that's posted before 7 a.m. each day.
Well, I noticed something else you were telling me, Becky, when you were, you made a number of phone calls to try to get information for shelter. You must have called half a dozen numbers and didn't seem to get too much help.
Maybe it's my mistake for calling on a Sunday, but of course people need shelter 365 days a year. And in fact, I was using some of the latest blue real change, not spare change, handy-dandy list for people new in town, presumably, to find out what their shelter options. And did find out that there are a couple errors on that.
What you're referring to, of course, are the little cards that Linda Steinau's Downtown Association, supported by Karen Gillette and Mayor Matthews when she was mayor. These are little cards that they don't want, you see, tourists to give out quarters to all those drug addicts, bums, alcoholics, and loonies downtown. So instead they're going to give them little, they were yellow pieces of paper, now they're blue, which tell you to make real change, not spare change, by throwing your quarters at the service providers rather than at the people themselves. It's so much better to hire somebody to give people, food rather than to feed them yourselves, because you never can tell. I mean, if you give the money to a person, they might go out and buy cigarettes or booze, and that, of course, would be counterproductive. Heroin, maybe they might buy a gun. You know, you can't really trust the homeless. In any case, we found these little cards they were giving out, which said where it was called real change, not spare change, and big signs were being placed in merchant windows, had some numbers on it that supposedly you were going to call to get shelter or food services. And we found, strangely enough, that the numbers were in error. They either led to recordings, services that were full, or didn't work. And we then got them to change some of those numbers, though not as had apparently been promised to David Silva, to open up a phone that people could actually use so they wouldn't have to go out and violate the law and panhandle to get money to call those numbers. Actually, that wouldn't be violating the law except at night, or if they were sitting down, or if they were in a group of two, or if they were, let's say, 9 feet from a crosswalk, or if they were 49 feet from an ATM. Those would be violating the law. But I'm sure there are many ways to ask for spare change. All you need is a tape measure and a copy of the municipal code. I mean, it's really, let's be honest about this.
Or go to the library, as Officer Headley advised Luke Kennedy on election night.
It's really an educational campaign for the homeless as well as an endurance campaign, because what's needed for the homeless is we're actually building a better homeless person here in Santa Cruz. Some people don't understand and don't appreciate that the kind of work that this city council, with Scott Kennedy at the lead, and apparently now Catherine Byers in our new city council, Mayor Byers, who's been on board so long and has said so little about this issue and still refuses to put it on the agenda, they're really trying to, toughen up the homeless. I mean, and it's good. This is a new progressive community in Santa Cruz. We need a tough homeless person with civil manners. I mean, all these unsightly, kind of obnoxious noises, these cries of pain from the back. I mean, we don't need that kind of thing.
May I have civil rights, please?
Yeah. Try to remember, say please when you ask the police officer to stop throwing you to the ground for selling a newspaper. Please don't take away my constitutional rights. Please don't jail me. Please stop your police force from doing this for a third time. Remember, the word please, or perhaps mother may I, might be a better approach. That's another opportunity here. In any case, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. It looks like the next talk show host has gotten stuck in the rain, and so we have a little extra time here. And hopefully, they are, the little red hen has not gotten completely wet. I'm not sure what she's up to. We do have some interesting items from, I was going to read this some weeks ago. It's not out of date. It's from High Witness News, High Times, December 1998. Appeals court rules, 93-year pot sentence shocks our conscience. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Will Foster, whose 93-year prison sentence was one of the harshest punishments ever given an American marijuana user, will most likely be out on parole in time for Christmas.
Foster, 40, convicted in January 1997 of growing 66 pot plants, had been sentenced to 70 years for cultivation by District Judge Bill Beasley, with an extra 23 years tacked on for possessing marijuana in the presence of a child, his daughter, then 5, and other charges. But on August 17th, the State Appeals Court ruled that the sentence was, quote, excessive, disproportionate, and shocks our conscience, and reduced it to 20 years. 2 days later, a state parole board voted to release Foster. I wasn't expecting anything, and neither was Will, says Foster's wife Meg. It was unanimous around the table. The parole still has to be approved by Governor Frank Keating and the State Department of Corrections, a process that could take 2 or 3 months, says Meg Foster. Will Foster will also have to do 250 hours of community service and take 12 weeks of drug classes. Meg Foster is baffled by why the state moved to release her husband so quickly, but suspects it's because the draconian 93-year sentence was bringing Oklahoma. Take note of this, all you people who think the city council is going to do such a wonderful job on the sleeping ban, even though it hasn't done shit. It did this because it was going to bring Oklahoma bad publicity. I remind all you listeners out there, the only time to give the city council and the downtown association and the Santa Cruz Chamber of Commerce bad publicity is during a heavy shopping season. That's now, folks. The Fosters plan to move to California once Will gets out, rather than risk police trying to find some little violation to pop him on, she says. However, Foster's lawyer, Millie Oti of Tulsa, says the appellate court decision is worthless for protecting other pot defendants as it upheld his conviction despite police use of an unsigned search warrant based on information from an informant they refused to identify. Now, I don't know what kind of cynics are calling this country a police state. I mean, for heaven's sake, don't people understand the democratic processes under which we operate? You've got to have patience in the public process. Patience and hope that Keith Sugar, Tim Fitzmaurice, and Chris Krohn, Catherine Byers, who didn't have diddly squat to say about the drug war in any of their pre-election statements and who've made no promises to rein in the reign of terror that people are suffering in Santa Cruz because of the drug war. I think we have to be patient with these people. Give them time. Wait, we have a correction from our producer.
Yeah, actually, Tim Fitzmaurice did at one of the candidate forums, he did address concern. He talked about people in the San Lorenzo Valley who said that they felt that they couldn't come of age in the San Lorenzo Valley without getting some kind of record that was going to follow them throughout their life, and directly related to the drug war.
No, actually, he was talking about the criminalization of the youth, Becky. He was talking about other things, and when asked about the drug war, he did talk about drug programs, and he talked about drugs being bad, and we have to do something about the drugs. He didn't specifically talk about any kind of city action to remove or lessen the daily menace that each of us suffers who dares to smoke marijuana in this community, dares to smoke marijuana even for medical purposes. We are living in a state of terror for those of us who have to worry about whether our children are going to be seized by CPS, we have to worry about whether our cars will be seized by the DMV, we have to worry about whether our lives are going to be seized by the state prison system. It is a state of fear that most people are under, and not for doing anything that affects anybody else. It's very, very vicious. And I'm afraid that the city council isn't doing shit about it. But here is the drug enforcement agent who has come in to tell us what it's all about. What's the story, officer?
I'm placing you under arrest right now.
Cool, man. That's actually, he was kidding, folks, as well you know. And I believe are you here to take over the next show there?
Yes, I'm standing in for the Red Hen. The Red Hen was deported back to Russia.
I see. Well, the hen is gone. Instead, we've got that old rooster, Skidmark Bob. We're gonna go out on a little music here. Here's a song that you may remember from the good old days, 30 years ago. It's another one by Phil Oakes from his Chords of Fame. And it's got a lot of references that are a little, you may be a little obscure to you, but it's called Love Me, I'm a Liberal, and I think you'll catch the drift.
cried when they shot Medgar Evers. Tears ran down my spine, and I cried when they shot Mr. Kennedy, as though I'd lost a father of mine. But Malcolm X got what was coming, he got what he asked for this time. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Get it? I go to civil rights rallies, and I put down the old D.A.R. D.A.R., that's the Dykes of the American Revolution. I love Harry and Sidney and Sammy. I hope every colored boy becomes a star. But don't talk about revolution, that's going a little bit too far. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. I cheered when Humphrey was chosen, my faith in the system restored. And I'm glad that the commies were thrown out from the AFL-CIO board. And I love Puerto Ricans and Negroes as long as they don't move next door. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Ah, the people of old Mississippi should all hang their heads in shame. Now I can't understand how their minds work. What's the matter, don't they watch Les Crane? But if you ask me to bus my children, I hope the cops take down your name. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Yes, I read New Republic and Nation. I've learned to take every view. You know, I've memorized Lerner and Golden. I feel like I'm almost a Jew. But when it comes to times like Korea, there's no one more red, white,